जय राधा माधव पूजा बिहारी कपि जना वाला गिरिवरदारी जय राधा माधव पूजा बिहारी कपि जना वाला गिरिवरदारी Welcome to all of you to the ISKCON of Alachua Hare Krishna Temple this Sunday, 8th of January. Happy New Year, everyone. Is it too late? Happy New Year? Huh? Good for another week. Okay. Actually, that's kind of the subject that I wanted to talk about this evening. Not specifically New Year's, but the fact that as human beings, we seem to be fascinated with milestones and dates and things like that. Just before I came over this evening, I pulled out my trusty iPhone and I Googled famous birthdays for today. You'd be surprised how many people are in recorded history from the 1300s to present are listed on this list of famous birthdays on January 8th. We're fascinated by it, all kinds of dates, and these are sort of milestones on our journey. So in one sense, milestones serve some purpose. They let you know how far you've gone. So they're significant in that way, and we don't want to belittle them. But they're not the real purpose of our journey, to count the miles, to pass the milestones. The real important thing is the journey itself. Sometimes that gets lost in just thinking about the milestones or the markers along the path. And so what really counts is who we are and where we're going. Now, can everyone here with a surety tell me who they are and where they're going in their journey in life? Can anybody? With surety, I mean, you're convinced this is who I am and this is where I'm going in life. Anybody? You're a spirit soul. Yeah, there's a lot of milestones in that path. But I would hope that our lessons from Bhagavad Gita that we're going to be discussing today would help us break that cycle. Because a cycle is repetitive by nature, and journeying constantly has got to become a little tiring. We want some relief from having to constantly journey. My family got me a stationary bicycle for Christmas. And I think they're obsessed with me making some meaningless miles on that thing. The purpose is not to count the miles, but to complete the journey. And we all need to do that. We all need to start thinking about that. Milestones for some of us are saying to us that we're getting closer and closer to the time when the miles is going to go down to zero. We're not going to have any left. And so we need to spend some time to get the meaning. Two things, who we are and where we're going. So there are a series of verses, not a series in that they're one after another, but if you study the Bhagavad Gita, which is our main text, our main religious text, if you study it overall, you get a picture of who you are, where the journey in life takes you, and what the ultimate destination is. So that's what we want to go over, some of these verses this evening, starting with one that talks about our journey within this body. It's a famous verse for those of you who know the Bhagavad Gita. I'll just read through the Sanskrit, then I'll do the English translation because we want everyone to be able to understand what we're talking about. Dehino smin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara. So here's a translation. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So this is a journey that each and every one of us have within this body. All of us remember a time when we were young boys or girls, as we went through youth, middle age, and approaching old age. But there's a sense there that I am making that journey. This is who we are. We are the I that's making that journey, because we feel ourselves to be the same person, don't we? When I look back on my high school yearbook and I see my picture there, yeah, that's me. I remember that. I remember what I did, the classes I took, the people I knew. But when I look in the mirror, there's a different person, isn't there? There's a different person. The body has changed. The body has changed. But I, the person, haven't changed. So the first thing we need to know about this journey of life is that the I is the spirit soul. And the spirit soul is different than the body. Spirit soul is, the body is a covering. And that covering changes over time. They have all these wonderful things on the internet these days. You can go and see famous baseball players from the 50s that you used to really be into. What do they look like now? You know, they're old and decrepit, and we think that that hasn't happened to us. When we look in the mirror, we still see ourselves in conceptions that may not be completely accurate. But the body has changed. It's constantly changing. But we, the spirit soul, remain the same, unchanged. Indeed, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that soul, the soul is unchanged, is undying. But when we identify with the covering only, then we find ourselves bewildered by the journey that we're taking. This bewilderment about the journey of life is something that's been a subject of much discussion in religious history, our histories, the Mahabharata. There's one famous conversation, actually, where Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was a righteous king, he was the son of religion personified. He was called Dharmaraj. He knew the codes of religion and the duties of man. And so he was once asked by Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, what is the most wonderful thing within this world? It was kind of a test. Maharaj Yudhisthira's brothers had actually been poisoned and were laying dead at the shore of a lake. And when Yudhisthira arrived, he was told that he could save them, but first he had to answer some questions about the duties of man, about the journeys of life, the journey of life. And so he was asked this question, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? And Maharaj Yudhisthira contemplated for a minute, and then he spoke. He said, Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchantiya, yamalayam, shesha, stavaram, ichchanti, kim, ascharyam, atatparam. He said, hundreds and thousands of living entities meet death at every moment. But a foolish living entity, living being, nonetheless thinks himself to be deathless, and does not prepare for death. This is the most wonderful thing. How much thought have we given to preparing for death? This verse from Bhagavad Gita tells us that we're going to go through this changing bodies and approach death. Do we know what death is? Do we know how to prepare for it? If we don't, then we may find ourselves in a difficult situation. You wouldn't fail to prepare for any journey that you are going to undertake, would you? If you have to go to New York City for a day, a week, a month, you make some preparations. You take care of your affairs here. You make sure you have warm clothes for the journey. You make sure you have a place to stay when you get there. All these preparations are natural. Friends, we're all on a journey in life, and we need to make preparations for our journey and for when we reach our goal. But that's natural, that's logical, it makes complete sense. But Yudhisthira, he pointed out that despite it making perfect sense, basically no one does that. No one prepares. They see it all around them. People are meeting their death, but they make no preparations. I don't want any of you to be in that situation, and therefore, we're going to discuss what you need to do to prepare for death. It's not that hard. I think we'll be able to cover it in the next 20, 30 minutes or so. Whether it sticks, and you have to come back next Sunday and see the drama they're going to do. So first of all, why don't we prepare for death? Anybody have any idea why we don't prepare for death? Because nobody wants to die, right? We're in denial, right? Denial is not a river in Egypt. Any other reasons? Covered by illusion, I think.
I've never seen a dead body. I've never seen someone die. You know, that we hide it. You know, there's an ambulance that goes by or something, but we never see it. You know,
Death is hidden from us as if it didn't exist all around us. Yeah. Making too many plans to live. Counting the milestones rather than the purpose of the journey. Well, maybe to say it that way. Okay. Any other ladies have any? Yes. Attachment to the family. Yeah. That's natural, attachment to the family. So we wouldn't want to think about dying on people. But isn't it better to be prepared and prepare them for what might be eventual, is inevitable? Yeah. Any other reasons? Yes, sir. They don't know that there's anything after death. Most people don't know that there's the spirit soul that I was talking about, that is eternal and survives death. And yeah, so these things are subject matters for what we need to learn in life to prepare for death. All these things. It's simple, as I said. It's not a complex thing, just basically common sense. So we can cover it in three questions. Three questions. Why are we taking the journey? Why are we on this journey in the first place? Can anybody say why we're on the journey in the first place? Because we want to enjoy. Let's leave the separate from God. It's a more advanced topic. But because we want to enjoy. That's the motivator behind everything that happens in this world, isn't it? We want to enjoy, or we want to see others enjoy. With that, we undertake the journey. Now, here's the part where it starts to pinch a little bit. Unfortunately, there's not a happy ending to the journey, to the material journey. There's not a happy ending. Despite what Hollywood or Bollywood may have you brainwashed to believe, no one rides off into the sunset having gotten the girl. This is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avitanor jana Mamu pecha takontiya punar janma vijite. Krishna's telling Arjuna, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery. Why are they places of misery, for those of you who know this verse? Because repeated birth and death takes place there. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. And so here we have, why are we undertaking this journey? To be happy. But if you wander in this journey all the way up to Brahmaloka, where there's an incalculable lifespan, and where none of the disease, the miseries of it, or ordinarily affect life here, are present, even though it's in the material world. All the way from there, all the way down through heavenly planets where you can enjoy unlimited sense pleasure, all the way from there down to the lower planetary systems where there is more hellish type of existence. All of these places you won't find happiness, because ultimately you have to die. So the first thing we need to understand about our journey is, if we want it to be happy, have a happy ending, we have to change from that cycle of that Dvaitacharya Prabhu was describing, a cycle of birth and death. We have to break that cycle, because no matter how high we go, death is always going to be there. That place is going to be temporary. We'll always be kicked out and forced to go on the road again, the journey to the next place in the next life. So, where is that place where I have to never take birth again? That should be the focus of our journey. And the journey that I'm speaking about, you've probably gotten the idea, but I want to stress the point. It's not a journey that just takes place within one lifetime. It's a journey that lasts many lifetimes. When I talk about, when this verse talks about going from the heavenly planets all the way down to the lower planets, basically, you're not going to do it in this body. You're going to have to leave this body, and you're going to have to die and take another body and another body and another body. So journey throughout many lifetimes. But we can have that happy ending if we focus on making it a spiritual journey. So the next of our three questions is, how is it that we can make this journey? Why are we making it? How are we making it? Well, we have to understand that we're spirit soul, we're not this body. When this body's finished, it's not that I'm finished, I get another body in another circumstance. And so there's a verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna explains how we get all these different bodies. How does it work? Having some knowledge of this whole thing is an impetus for getting out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. And so Krishna gives us that in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Now, I'm going to read a little bit of Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, because he explains very nicely this teaching about how we're making the journey from one body to another in this material universe. So the verse is, Purusha prakriti sto hi bhunkte prakriti jan gunan karanam gunasangoshad sadasad joni janmasu. I do want to issue a warning here about this verse and this whole subject of how we're making this journey. We're going to meet good and evil on our journey, so we should expect that. And there is a possibility that you could become an animal, depending on your consciousness. So let's read what Prabhupada says here in the translation and purport. The living entity in material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that nature. Thus he meets with good and evil amongst various species. Purport. This verse is very important for an understanding of how the living entities transmigrate. It means how we go from one body to another. Transmigrate the spirit soul from one body to another. Transmigrate from one body to another. It is explained in the second chapter that the living entity is transmigrating from one body to another, just as one changes dresses. This change of dress is due to his attachment to material existence. As long as he is captivated by this false manifestation, he has to continue transmigrating from one body to another. Due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is put into such undesirable circumstances. Under the influence of material desire, the living entity is born sometimes as a demigod, sometimes as a man, sometimes as a beast, as a bird, as a worm, as an aquatic, as a saintly man, as a bug. This is going on. And in all cases, the living entity thinks himself to be the master of his circumstances. Yet he is under the influence of material nature. How he is put in such different bodies is explained here. It is due to association with the different modes of nature. One has to rise, therefore, above the three modes, the three material modes, and become situated in the transcendental position. This is called Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is that process by which we can separate ourselves as spirit soul from this material body and start acting on the level of the soul instead of the body. It's a very, very important contribution to mankind. And we marked a milestone in that also in the past year. We had the 50th anniversary of ISKCON. And in the last couple of years, so many anniversary milestones of Srila Prabhupada coming and giving us his valuable knowledge. So this is called Krishna consciousness. Unless one is situated in Krishna consciousness, his material consciousness will oblige him to transfer from one body to another because he has material desires since time immemorial. But he has to change that conception. That change can be effected only by hearing from authoritative sources. The best example is here. Arjuna is hearing the science of God from Krishna. The living entity, if he submits to this hearing process, will lose his long-cherished desire to dominate material nature, and gradually and proportionately, as he reduces his long desire to dominate, he comes to enjoy spiritual happiness. In the Vedic mantra, it is said that he becomes learned in association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As he becomes learned in the association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he proportionally relishes his eternal life. So, how we're making this journey and the alternative to get out of this cycle by the practice of Krishna consciousness. God does not leave us abandoned and alone on our journey. He's there to help and guide us. He's a friend. We need, if you go on a journey to a strange land, and you meet someone that says to you, here, let me help you. Go this way, do that, don't do that, watch out for this, watch out for that. That person greatly aids you in accomplishing the purpose of your journey. Have you ever been on a journey and you felt kind of lost and someone came up to you and offered you some help that you really needed? Yeah, I mean, I was in Delhi one year and I wanted to visit a bookstore. So early in the morning I went out and I caught a three-wheeler scooter and I went across town from where I was staying and went to a bookstore. Little did I know that there was a public transit strike that day. And that driver of the three-wheeler was a wildcat. He was breaking the strike, just taking a chance. So when I came out of the bookstore, nobody would give me a ride back to where I wanted to go, and I had no idea how to get there. I didn't know where I was. I just told him the name of the store, and he took me there. So I started to get a little desperate because I don't speak Hindi. And I couldn't communicate with a lot of people around me to get some directions where to go. So finally went into a library. I thought, a library, somebody will speak English there. Nope. But there was one man there. He said to me, he saw me in my desperate condition going on, asking me. And he saw me and he said, came up to me and said, I'll help you. He didn't speak English that much either, but he could understand just from seeing my anxiety that I needed help. He said, just, I'll help you. He took me, put me on the right bus. He got on the bus with me. He paid the bus fare, rode with me to the bus. We had to change at one stop and got on. He got off with me, got on the new bus with me, went like that. And then finally, on the last bus, he sent me off and said farewell. But I sat next to him, couldn't even communicate with him. But other than just a feeling of gratitude for being assisted by him. Indeed, when he got off the bus, I went to look for him and he had disappeared into the crowd. He was wearing a blue turban, so I thought, who is this fellow? But it's just like that. Krishna helps us in our journey. He helps us. There's a maze of all things, and we were introduced to some of the topics when we read Prabhupada's purport here. Three modes of material nature, the cycle of repeated birth and death, the spirit soul, time immemorial. What do we make of all these things? We hear them, but it's hard to understand. Therefore, fortunately, we have a friend and a guide, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, that helps us in the course of our journey. And that's reflected in a verse from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that I'll read. Ishvara sarva bhutanam fridesha arjuna tistati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudrani mayaya. Translation, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Our friend is with us in the heart. He's with all living entities. And he's actually the one that's the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's there to give us direction and guidance along our path. What do we have to do to get that direction? What's all we have to do? It's a very simple thing that we have to do to get that direction. What is it? Surrender, that's a little hard. That's not so easy. No? Love. Love. Well, it's easier than that, even. Initially. You just have to turn your head, look at him. Yes. Inquire, yes. Ask for help. It's a problem for men. You guys get it together. Ask. My dear Lord, help me. I don't know where I'm going. I have so many difficulties. To be Krishna conscious is hard. We just have to ask, and he's ready to help, to give us guidance. He's guiding us anyway. And so he certainly will guide us back home, back to Godhead. But we have to ask. He wants us to ask, and that's not really that much to ask. So, as I mentioned at the start of this answer to this question about how we're making the journey, we have to be careful about this, because there is a possibility that we can become, in the course of our journey, we get into bad association, wrong association, we can become an animal. And what's so bad about being an animal? Our choice is gone as long as we're encaged in that body. We can no longer make the choice to turn to Krishna to get out of this world. We have to wait a term. It's like being in prison. Wait a term so that body is up before we can have enlightened enough consciousness to be able to continue our journey out of this material world. Sometimes people think that reincarnation just goes up, but it can go down. It can go down again into the lower species of life. So we have to be careful about how we deal with the material energy, and we have to seek out our friend to help us. And so that brings us to where is the best place our journey should take us. After all this instruction in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not going to leave us without giving his recommendation about where we should go. We may have so many ideas about our journey and where we want it to take us, but he has an idea also about where we should go. And so that's described to him by him in the following verse from Bhagavad Gita. Mamupecha punar janma ukalyam ashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmana samsidhir paramam samsidhim paramam gata. Translation, after attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries because they have attained the highest perfection. Nat nuvanti mahatmana. They don't come back. One thing about that journey, and Dvaitacharya described it nicely, that cyclic analogy he explained to us. We always come back. We always come back to the same pleasures, the same traps of sense enjoyment, the same traps of material illusion. These things drive us in a circle. We get addicted to them. And so we're constantly coming back to the same place. It's like you're lost. If you're lost and you're wandering in a forest lost, after a couple of rounds you start to recognize, well, wait a minute. This looks familiar. I was here an hour ago. I thought I was getting out of this forest. We keep coming back to the same place, the same things, the same traps, the same illusion. But if you take to the process of Krishna consciousness, Krishna is guaranteeing you here that you won't come back again. You'll never come back again. You'll break the cycle. You'll get out. You'll complete the journey. You'll complete the journey. What a wonderful thing. We've been wandering in this material universe for billions upon billions upon billions of years. And now you're telling me we can get out? Prabhupada says in one point where he's describing the spiritual realm, he says that one should be captivated by this information. And for those of us who have been traveling like this, birth after birth, in this material universe, to get knowledge where it says that you don't have to come back again should captivate us. Yes, that's what I want. I want to complete the journey. I want to finish it up. I'm tired of counting the miles, for God's sake. Let me get out. That is available to us. How? We turn to Krishna. And where? His eternal abode, where we enjoy with him. It describes here, who are yogis in devotion. That means those who have a loving relationship with him, who developed a loving relationship with God. Those persons don't have to come back again to this world, where there's a chance of becoming an animal, where you meet with good and evil in various species, and where there's birth, death, old age, and disease from the top of the universe to the bottom. Those things are history. And we'll leave them in history. So, Bhagavad Gita, we study it carefully, gives us this description of how to journey out of this material world. And I would ask all of you on this New Year's, 2017, to dedicate yourselves to trying to achieve something towards this end in this coming year. Our New Year's resolutions, our goals that we sort of use milestones to fan, can be utilized to give us encouragement to go on in this way. We have this temple here specifically for different things, like Mokyo was saying, take a Sunday, sponsor a Sunday, feed the Vaishnavas, or take a service in the preparation for our Sunday program or the festival we have all years. Contribute to some of the many wonderful projects that are going on around the world in ISKCON, Temple of Vedic Planetarium there, and it's going on in India. Wonderful opportunity to get involved in these milestone events. Because all these things will help us break our material journey and take us back home, back to God. So are there any questions or comments that anyone has about these subject matters? Yes. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Dan Yagya. He was at Krishna House.
Lord Chaitanya's orders, right?
Lord Chaitanya's orders. Thank you. Yes. Sankirtan, distributing this knowledge. Krishna says actually in Bhagavad Gita that there's no one more dear to me than he who distributes this knowledge to others. And so if you want to please Krishna, if you want to be recognized Krishna, please him, that's a very potent way of doing that. So yes, Sankirtan Yajna. Yes.
Sometimes I think all of us are familiar with that feeling of deja vu. And I was wondering how cyclic our existence really is. Like how similar can it really, the experience really be? Like is, you know, Kali Yuga around this time, typically around, you know, the same kind of experience, like more or less? Or is there a lot more variety out there? Like we hear that this is the four-headed Brahma universe. Well, let's say there is a 10-headed Brahma universe. Is it a different kind of universe? Like, are there unlimited varieties of this kind of existence, or is it all kind of the same?
Well, I mean, the Bhagavad Gita explains material nature is endlessly mutable. So, when sometimes people would say the Prabhupada is questioning some fantastic description from how the material nature is or something, they would say, well, how are we going to believe that? And probably, what have you seen? What do you know? You're a baby, you know, out of your mother's womb. You know, what do you know? And so there are endlessly variety in this material. So in our material experience, we have a sum of the material, but there are endlessly mutable other manifestations of material energy that we may see at various different places in the universe. However, the essence of how there's birth, death, disease, and old age there doesn't change. And the simple truth that you find in Bhagavad Gita cut through all of the phantasmagoria of material nature, no matter how fantastic it is. Not just that we can relate to it here because we're in a more recognizable or mild nature of material energy. Bhagavad Gita instruction is valuable throughout. As far as deja vu goes, my own realization about that is time is cyclical. And so we tend to think of it as linear, and we experience it as linear. But the cyclical nature of time sometimes gives us that feeling of deja vu, how time works. That's my own realization about that.
Just to follow up for that, I've heard that the Vedic paradigm describes time as past, present, and future, not really as separate things, but just as manifesting and unmanifesting. Like, it's not that the past isn't there, it's that the past always exists, the future always exists, but it's manifesting and unmanifesting into the present. Would you say that's an accurate understanding?
I don't know about that understanding. Yes. Yes.
Sir, I'm actually very tired with my life already. So, are you sure that this path will actually lead to my liberation? Because I don't want to be unsure.
How you can be sure is by experiencing. And that surety can be experienced very quickly. It's not that you have to practice for a long time. If you practice sincerely, you go to Krishna and you say sincerely one time, "My dear Lord, from this moment I am yours, I surrender to you. Please protect me, please guide me." Krishna will reciprocate and he'll give you the protection and guidance, and he'll give you the faith to go on practicing for as long as you need to attain perfection. So don't doubt, try to experience. Doubting means that you hear and you reject. But hear, put it into practice, experiment, do the experiment, and then see what the result is. Then make your decision about going forward.
What if I'm into this experiment for, say, around 20, 30 years, and my life has just passed, and I realize that nothing's happening?
Believe me, if you practice for 20, 30 years, something has happened already, because you wouldn't have been practicing for 30-something years unless you were getting some kind of taste.
But I'm not satisfied with something.
Keep going. Keep going. What option do you have? You're not satisfied.
But I have a very finite time here. I don't know whether I'll die tomorrow.
You chant Hare Krishna, and if you die tomorrow, you'll be in a good situation. Better than if you hadn't chanted Hare Krishna, I can tell you. Any questions on the ladies' side? Yes. Okay, I'll get both of you.
When you asked, why don't we think we're going to die? I immediately thought, oh, because we already think we're immortal. But I didn't want to say it. Mm. Does anybody else have that thought? We already think we're immortal, right? That death is for other people.
Well, that's a good reason why you're not going to die, compared to what others are asking. If we can understand ourselves as immortal beings, then we're ahead of the game. However, I would say that we have to know what that means and actually act on that level. Otherwise, we're just, giving giving lip service to it. So if we don't think we're die because we're immortal, then we're going to act like that. That's going to be shown in our behavior and how we deal with situations. And so, yes, that's a valid way for not being afraid of death. But we have to put our actions where our thoughts are.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Probably we were speaking about that, practicing or learning how to leave this body. What I've learned is that desires bring forth two things, happiness and distress. It's like a package deal, happiness and distress. And I heard in a class once that a wise man would know what to desire. If we desire for material things, then we would create that, so to speak. But if we desire less and only spiritual knowledge, then we would be free from the material.
Yes, we have to be very carefully cultivate our desires and our association. That's why, again, we have this temple, why the devotees are here, why the books are here, the deities, everything. It's a given a chance to associate with Sat rather than the Asat, the permanent, the eternal Sat, rather than the Asat, the temporary. The more we associate with temporary objects, temporary objectives in life, temporary forms of enjoyment, the more difficult it's going to be for us to transcend that. Therefore, we have to practice. Right? Sadhana bhakti. Sadhana means practice, practicing Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna regularly, coming to the temple, taking prasadam, association with the devotees, offering our obeisances to the deities. These are practice. We practice and we learn how to love Krishna, and we can develop love for Krishna in our heart. Yes, please.
And my experience, hospitals and situations like death are very extremely hard condition to live with the material body. And I think we literally have to pray to Krishna to appear in our minds, because we'll be panicking. I tell you, you will.
Thank you. That's a very sobering note. It's a fact that death is not an easy experience. Therefore, we should pray that when we meet that inevitable time in our own lives, that we have the association of devotees around us who can help us, who can comfort us, who can guide us, who can remind us of Krishna, who can help us make that transition. Thank you for that. Your final? Ramiya, just hold on a second.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Prabhu, I work in a nursing home where I see people dying in a poor and deathbed almost every single day. And, you know, after understanding this Bhagavad Gita, I can really understand that. Okay, I mean, what people go through, even at their deathbed, their attachment, their difficulties to give up some addictions, that really sobers us. So sometimes when I think of how far I have come, really helps me to understand better than to think that how far I have to go. So that itself, you know, gives me a big hope. And when I speak to senior devotees, they also share the same thing. So that itself is a living evidence or example that this process is working, will work.
You talk to that gentleman there. Ramiya, please.
Just a thought I had, a reminder, that Krishna says on this path there's no loss or diminution. So when you're buying things, you're acquiring things, you look for this 100% money-back guarantee. But Krishna says you won't need that guarantee because you will be satisfied. You will not lose anything. He's guaranteeing, and Krishna guarantees, who can give better guarantee than Krishna? He stands behind it.
Thank you. You also talked to this gentleman. All right, thank you very much. I'll go to Shubhadeva.